Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to KCBS In-Depth.
Really, in order to find quality care, you often have to be on a wait list that's months long.
The people, places, and issues the Bay Area's talking about.
The aggressive advocates who were looking to overrule Roe for so long, they really had no idea of the consequences they might be opening up.
In this case, there very well may be charges that are appropriate. For example, trying to obstruct an official proceeding of Congress, right? That is unlawful.
This is KCBS In-Depth.
Housing crisis is widespread in California and has become especially dire for college students as rents go ever higher and competition increases for whatever apartments are available. A 2022 UCLA survey found that student homelessness ranges from 5 to 20% across California's colleges and universities, meaning that potentially hundreds of thousands of students are unhoused. So, what's being done to solve this problem? Welcome to KCBS In-Depth, broadcasting throughout the Bay Area and streaming on the Odyssey app. I'm Mary Hughes. We'll start our conversation with Zenon Oliate-Crowe, third-year student at UC Santa Cruz and founder and co-chair of the Student Homes Coalition, a student-led collective of higher education advocacy organizations and youth activists fighting for abundant, accessible, and affordable student housing. Thank you so much for joining me on In-Depth about this this very important topic. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
As is gathered by what my listeners would have heard in introducing you, this is something you've been involved in, working to get more and better student housing since last year. What was it that you were seeing and experiencing that prompted you to get involved in the first place?
Yeah, so in Santa Cruz, 9% of our students experience homelessness every year. And when I first moved to Santa Cruz 3 years ago, it was shocking when I was going around and talking with folks and talking with random people in my classes, and people were openly living out of their vehicles, which is just unconscionable from a UC education. And really, the idea that students that are already putting so much on the line in terms of their time, their energy, and just trying to succeed in terms of education being one of the greatest forms of uplifting folks out of poverty that we have, and we're placing all these barriers for folks to be able to even live where they're trying to go to university, that's what really got me motivated into this discussion, because I've been active in student housing and housing in general for a long time, but really seeing the magnitude of the crisis within the UC system especially, and the need for advocacy in a new way in that area is what propelled me.
Well, and I mean, you know, I think sometimes when people are thinking in percentages, you know, obviously the higher you go, the worse it is. But genuinely, 9% is nothing. That's more than I thought it would be, actually.
Yeah, it's insane. And the other crazy thing is that we actually don't know the full picture of it, because that 9% number comes from an undergraduate experience survey, meaning it's a random survey they send out to students that they fill out. And the university actually doesn't collect data on the number of students experiencing homelessness across the UC, because the UC is constitutionally exempt from the legislature's purview, unlike the CSU and the community college, which do have numbers.
Obviously, there's what's going on, you know, at your institution, but this is really a widespread issue that is affecting so many universities and colleges. And, you know, from your perspective, just how dire is this?
I think for me, one of the huge motivating factors is looking at the overall education picture. I think when we look at costs, I mean, tuition costs have skyrocketed in the past few decades, and housing costs have skyrocketed in the past few decades. And we're actually seeing fewer and fewer percentages of people getting admitted to UCs year in and year out. So in 1990, 85% of freshman applicants to UC were admitted. And in 2019, that number was 65%. So that's intrinsically tied to the housing crisis, because if students don't have places to live, then they're definitely not going to have any availability or possibility of attending and going to classes in the universities. And many of the universities and UCs across the system are bound by local governments to be building student housing if they want to increase enrollment. And so long as we aren't increasing student housing, we're actually not keeping up with the increasing number of people that are applying to UCs in order to get that UC education. And so, you know, it's fantastic that we've seen a lot more folks being able to have this opportunity to graduate with the grades needed to do UCs, to have the motivation and to have the financial resources through financial aid to attend UCs. But so long as we don't solve the housing picture, we're effectively making it harder and harder for each generation to actually get the same access to opportunity that people before them had. And so as we want to look towards a more forward and inclusive society where we are really using education as a tool to uplift folks out of poverty, the last thing we want to be doing is to be simultaneously pulling up the ladder from behind us.
Well, and I like that you, you know, obviously making that connection, the interconnectedness of that. If you don't have this very vital aspect that we all need when it comes to housing, it makes the pursuit of higher education that much more challenging. And that's something that the Student Homes Coalition obviously takes very seriously. And there are 4 proposed state housing bills that are out there that's been given support. Can you talk a little bit about what those bills are and what they're aiming to do?
Yeah. So the first bill, we really have a slate of bills that are focused on on-campus housing production, off-campus housing production, and off-campus tenant protection for students. And so to start off with the on-campus housing production, I think we've seen across the UC and CSU that a lot of the time neighbors will file frivolous environmental lawsuits against universities to prevent housing from being built. We've seen in UC Santa Cruz, there was a project that was supposed to add 2,800 beds to the university, which would have been over 25% increase on the number of student housing on campus. And that project has been in lawsuits for 5 years now since it's been approved. To give you context, that project was approved when I was in 10th grade, and I am graduating at the end of this quarter, and it still hasn't broken ground. You know, after it had already been in planning for 7 years or so through going through the environmental review process and such. And so that bill, SB 312, is basically getting at tackling those frivolous lawsuits and making sure that, hey, if we are building student housing on campuses in an environmentally conscious way that meet stringent standards, they shouldn't be subject to those lawsuits that are often frivolously filed by local community members that don't want to see universities expand, which is often really hypocritical because a lot of those members attended the very universities that they're now suing and are therefore pulling up the ladder for folks that are trying to access the exact same opportunities they were given. So that's SB 312. And then AB 3116, which is Student Housing Density Bonus, is essentially at the state level, the state uses this thing called density bonus law, which allows them to incentivize developers to build affordable housing. Because essentially local governments will say, okay, you're only allowed to build X number of units on this parcel. And the state says, okay, well, if you build at least 20% of your housing as affordable, then we'll let you build, you know, another 30% more housing on this lot than the local government would otherwise allow. And so and that's what density bonus law is, and it exists for a lot of different subcategories and different types of housing, you know, extremely low income housing, moderate income housing, and there's also a student housing one that was passed in 2018. However, this law has not been used since it was passed in 2018, because there are significant flaws with it that make it pretty much unworkable from an actual practicality perspective. And so basically what 3116 does is it goes in there and it tackles the actual usability of that law to make it possible and really creates a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to create affordable housing for students. Because the real crisis is that at a lot of the federal funding sources and the state funding sources for affordable housing all include explicit bans on those funds going towards students. Full-time students cannot be residents in these projects. And so that means that for, you know, the vast, vast, vast majority of college students that live at Coff campus, you know, 78% of UC and CSU students live off campus, there are literally no deed-restricted affordable homes for them because they simply don't exist. And so since this bill would essentially be using these within projects, the market rate developments to then subsidize affordable housing for students, it would be the first time students would ever have access to deed-restricted affordable housing off campus. And additionally, you know, it's really about building more housing surrounding campuses, because we know that oftentimes UCs, CSUs can be gentrification and displacement bombs in communities. And students that are scrambling to find housing often then live in lower-income communities because it's the only places they can afford, and then thereby push out existing residents. And so with this bill, the idea is we want new students living in new homes. We don't want students displacing existing residents. And the other two pieces of legislation, which is AB 2785 AB 2801, the first one essentially caps the amount of money that landlords can charge for application fees. So one thing that's really challenging is that students are often having to find housing every single year and find housing in really big groups. And so what will happen is, even if it's the same property listing company for a bunch of different properties, they'll require that every single person in that group will pay $50 per person per listing that they do. And so oftentimes when you've got a group of six or seven people trying to find housing, you'll end up spending $1,000 in fees just to apply to housing that you don't even get into. And the way the process works is the idea is that fee is supposed to be used to cover the cost of doing a credit check on the applicants. But the vast majority of the time, most applicants don't actually need to get their credits checked, because there's a select few people when, you know, landlords review the applications that they actually decide to go through with the credit check for. And so the bill would basically cap the price of application fees at $50 and say, if you aren't selected for an apartment, the landlord has to return the application fee to you. And then for the final one, as AB 2801, it's about really setting up clear guidelines when it comes to what needs to be proven to get your security deposit taken. So a lot of the times we've seen that, especially with students, there's been rampant abuse of security deposit laws, where students will not get back their security deposits, and since they're moving on to another place, there's no way they can really fight it. And so it introduced new standards for photographic evidence, before and after photos of, hey, here's what the place looks beforehand. Hey, you can see this picture. There's a crack in the wall now. Now you have to pay the security deposit, to actually prove and itemize every single time that you need to pay for those expenses. And so it's really about providing transparency in the process to make sure that we aren't having the same levels of abuse when it comes to security deposit prospects. And it also increases the penalty for abusing the security deposit to be 3 times the amount of security deposit. So if a landlord's found that they illegally withheld it, they would have to pay back 3 times the amount of the security deposit to the tenant. So that's the wrap up of the four bills, but really it's encompassing, kind of, for Student Homes Coalition, our mindset about what we need to do to solve this crisis. We need more homes for everybody, and we need to make sure that that is existing so that people can have places to live, especially as we have home prices skyrocketing because we haven't been building enough. And we also need to make sure that people that are in homes and are renting are strongly protected, and make sure that they have the safety and the comfortability of knowing that where they live, they can stay.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say, that this is really kind of, it's covering a lot of ground, but it's sort of doing a top to bottom sort of look at what students who are needing housing, and then if hopefully getting housing, protections there. So it's kind of a full coverage sort of thing. And, you know, that this whole time, I get curious about, you know, you were, especially with SB 312 that you were talking about, you know, it seems like the universities and colleges that they want to be figuring out ways to provide housing, or to come up with ideas that provide housing, and it just runs into hurdles over and over. But has any progress been made since your organization got involved and got out there? Has there been steps in the right direction that you've seen?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I can say that in terms of steps in the right direction, number one is the organizing that's happening around this issue. I think it's, you know, the housing crisis is not new to Californians, but in the higher ed segment, we've really seen in recent years, in no short part because of student activism around this issue, that the higher education space is getting involved in housing. And they are recognizing that housing is the number one cost barrier to students getting a university education. And we need to do as much as we can to reduce those costs and reduce those burdens on folks. And so we've seen a lot of progress in really highlighting it as an issue and making it front and center in the discussions around housing in general. And then we've also seen progress within the legislature in introducing funding for student housing. You know, for the first time ever, the legislature directly funded the construction of affordable student housing on campuses across the state. And right now, they gave planning grants to 70 community colleges that are now studying building housing on their campuses. That used to be, out of the 116 community colleges, 12 of them had student housing. And now 70 of them, in addition, are studying building student housing. So we've seen that there's been a huge influx because of all of this momentum of the state really getting involved and seeing it as an issue that needs to be addressed. Because again, looking at the broader housing crisis, there's about 3.2 million students in California out of 40 million people in the entire state. Solve the student housing crisis and you go a really long way in solving the broader housing crisis.
In Depth will return after a moment.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Now we turn to Sujin Jez, CEO of California Competes, a nonpartisan policy and research organization focused on identifying solutions to the state's challenges at the intersection of higher education, equity, and the economy. Thank you so much for being on In Depth and getting into this conversation with me.
Happy to be here.
So in the work that you do, you've been looking at and researching the world of higher education for quite a while now, and have seen the changes, I think, that have been going on in the state of California when we're talking about campus life. You know, there's some tensions that seem to be getting stronger now when we're talking about diversity, when we're talking about free speech. We're having, you know, enrollment issues and questions. And then on top of that, student housing. And that's become more and more of a focus for everyone. So from your perspective, how did we get to where we are now with the housing situation from what you've seen?
That's a great question. You know, I think the housing situation has been tough for college students for a while, but it's been pretty embedded in the general conversation around the cost of college and the skyrocketing cost of college. And so only recently has there been greater attention to what's being called as student basic needs. And that includes housing, but also includes things like, you know, food, childcare, mental health and health generally. And so when we began to pay attention more closely to student basic needs, what became really clear was the incredible cost of housing, particularly for students in California. And I want to emphasize that, you know, college students are not necessarily all that different from non-college students. And so housing and housing affordability is an issue for almost everyone in our state, and it's not different for college students. And when we look at students' cost of going to college, what we see is that most of that cost for most college students is the cost of housing. It's not tuition. When we look at the cost of housing, we break down what students are paying for college. The housing expenses make up most of the college costs. And so for students at the California State University system,
57% of the cost of attendance is housing. And for students attending the community colleges, it's 68% of their cost of going to college. And even for those going to the University of California, 43% of their costs are attributable to housing.
What are some of the fundamental hurdles to universities and colleges being able to do more to offer affordable, consistent housing?
Well, I think one big challenge is that, you know, the recognition that housing is a problem for college students. And I think for a long time that there wasn't this recognition that we needed to do more for housing for college students. I think people pictured people going to college and living in dorms or fraternities and sororities, and that was never an issue. But now what we're really seeing is housing insecurity is a huge issue for college students. And for many of our college students, that they're facing, you know, homelessness at rates greater than non-college students in our state. So that recognition that this is a problem that needs to be solved is a big first step. And now we're finally there. So now it's tackling really what communities across our state are tackling is we need more housing. So how do we build more housing, both on college campuses, but also off campus in college communities? And frankly, college communities in our state are across the state. When we think about the spread and scale of our community college system in our state. So it's expensive to build housing in our state. So once we get more housing, how do you ensure it's also affordable for Californians in general, but particularly for college students who, you know, are making less than most Californians because they don't yet have a credential that can improve their earnings outcomes. And also they're really limited in how many hours they can work if they want to be successful in their studies. So, you know, the issues that we see in our state in addressing housing affordability and homelessness are the same ones that college campuses in our state are facing for college students, but with, you know, extra challenges in supporting a population that, you know, has special needs.
Have you seen methods so far that have worked in actually providing more housing?
Absolutely. So our state has, you know, recognized that this is a huge issue and has organized several state agencies and sectors to invest their resources into addressing this issue. So, you know, first on a broad scale, the state created an action plan for preventing and ending homelessness, which was updated just last year. And a part of that were efforts factoring the needs of college students. So things like there's the Homeless and Housing Insecure Pilot Program and the College-Focused Rapid Rehousing Program. And that supports students at community colleges and CSUs provide students with, well, rapid rehousing when they don't have stable housing. This action plan also calls on the University of California, the California State University, and the California Community Colleges to monitor and report on the number of students who receive emergency housing grants or assistance. So we know and begin to understand what's the scale of need in our state. Also, California has enacted several measures aimed at gathering critical data and insights on housing costs, availability, and student needs across our state's post-secondary institutions to inform better decision-making. Because right now we know it's a problem, but our data is really limited and we need good data before we make these, frankly, like multi-billion dollar investments to supporting student housing. And you know, that information gathering will allow us to target these big investments around college housing. So in 2021, our state established the California Education Student Housing Grant Program, which was, as far as I know, our state's first investment in college housing. And that provides over $2 billion in grants to colleges to build new affordable housing for low-income students. So far, 35 projects across 39 campuses have been approved. And those, once the housing is constructed, will provide housing to more than 11,000 low-income students each year. And I'm happy to say that, you know, 8 of those projects are in the Bay Area.
Are there ways and means that you think need to be utilized more so that this student housing crisis doesn't overwhelm us?
You know, one thing that we really think about at California Competes is that we try to disrupt this concept that a college student is just the 18-year-old recent high school graduate who's going to, you know, UC Berkeley or Stanford and living in a dorm and going to college football games on the weekend. That the typical college student in California is attending a community college, is, you know, 27 years old. And we're learning so much that it is the hostess at your neighborhood restaurant who may be a single mom and looking to have a better life and more economic stability. So when we think about addressing housing needs for college students, what we really think about is how do our existing programs and programs that are sort of coming up in the future, how do we ensure that college students are eligible with the realization that, you know, that low-wage worker who's trying to make a better life for themselves needs to be able to access college. And having secure, safe, stable housing for them is the path for more and more college students and is the typical college student in our state. So I think as much as we can open up our current housing programs for students to be able to take advantage of them while they go to college will be really impactful for both college students today, but for all the Californians who want to go to college but can't because they need to keep working full time to be able to make ends meet and pay rent. So this is a critical issue that we have to address, and that it has to be addressed in thinking about our community college students in particular. And our community colleges have not in the past had housing as sort of a key part of what they delivered to their students. Because people, you know, our community college students originally were designed for, you know, an 18-year-old living at home with mom and dad while they did their first 2 years before they transferred to the university. But today our community colleges are serving a very different student who is often independent. And that's, you know, 2/3 of our state's college students are the community colleges. And so we think about addressing housing insecurity and homelessness for college students. We've got to figure out how do community colleges address housing insecurity. And an institution that most of them, 90% of them, don't have housing. So community colleges also have this extra challenging reality to think about how students perceive campus housing for them and uprooting their lives to move someplace for what they think is 2 years versus, you know, most people when they move, they want a place that they're going to be able to stay at for years and not have to uproot their families' lives for. So it's going to be really challenging for the community colleges, but it's something that we really have to figure out because it's so critical for the state.
You can find this episode and past episodes of In-Depth online at kcbsradio.com. You can hear In-Depth episodes on the Odyssey app. Download the app on your smartphone and favorite KCBS radio. Thanks for listening. For KCBS and In-Depth, I'm Mary Hughes.
You've been listening to KCBS In-Depth. Get every episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Visit kcbsradio.com for more news and interviews. We are the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.